How do we love someone whose political and religious beliefs are wrong? We have the perfect answer. Let's talk about it with Andrew Farley on Steve Brown, etc.
He's an old white guy, an author, broadcaster, and seminary professor who's sick of religion. And he's brought friends. Please welcome Steve Brown, etc.
And that's the name of the program, and we're so glad you're here. You always have a seat at our table. I'm Steve, the aforementioned old white guy, and our favorite megachurch pastor is here, Zach Van Dyke. Zach has the spiritual gift of social posting. I don't know how you have time to write those great sermons. I mean, everywhere I turn, you're there.
I don't know what to say to that. I don't know.
Got 10 kids, too. And, I just don't know how he does it. Omnipresent, I suspect.
I've given up social for Lent, so I haven't been posting anything. Someone's hacked my account.
Do you feel empty? And do you feel the world is meaningless?
Yeah.
Is it a dark time for you, Zach?
It might be, a little bit. Yeah.
Matthew Porter's here. Matthew, that haircut. One time is bad luck, but two times, that might just be bad judgment.
Steve, when you're right, you're right.
There you go. And our producer, Jinx, and Matthew, by the way, is the executive producer. Our producer, Jinx, is in this little glass booth. He's a little bit country and a little bit rock and roll. True?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. I have to listen to country when I'm alone in my truck, though, because my wife can't stand country.
My wife neither. Our video director, John Myers, is in his tech bunker. John can't understand why spring break in Florida lands when it's too cold to swim.
True.
I hadn't thought of that. That's true.
Must be a Canadian holiday.
George Bingham is not here. We offended him last week, and we're trying to see if he will come back next week, but we're not sure. He was really ticked. It was something Matthew said. It certainly wasn't anything that I said.
News.
Actually, he's in Atlanta taking his daughter to her new job in Atlanta, and he'll be back next week. Kathy Wyatt is the soft feminine side of the program. Kathy, I'm worried about your health. Well, one sign of COVID is losing your taste. And I've been noticing that you're laughing at Matthew's jokes. So maybe you've got COVID.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm bored.
And bored. Is that a sign of COVID, too?
He's all alone at the office.
It must be. You know, it's so quiet here. Unfortunately, one of our number tested positive last week for COVID, and she's doing great. But so most people are working at home, so people are kind of scattered. So there's only two of us here today. It's like empty. There's one upstairs and one downstairs. So, yeah, I have to even laugh at Matthew's jokes.
Bad.
I'll send you some dad jokes.
Oh, man, things are getting really bad.
Things are bad. Yeah, really bad.
Her name, by the way, is April, and if you think of it, she's our financial lady, and if you think of it, you might remember her in your prayer, but she's doing good, actually. I've talked to her two or three times, and she's, it's relatively mild. You know, some people die, and I told her if she died, it would ruin my day.
Well, if she dies, we'll have to kill her. Because we can't function without her.
She said it would ruin her day, too. Listen, we have a great guest for this program, and he's been on before, Andrew Farley. He's the president of Andrew Farley Ministries, and he serves as lead pastor of Church Without Religion, and that's in Lubbock, Texas. Andrew has authored 7 best-selling books, including The Naked Gospel and Twisted Scripture. He also hosts Andrew Farley Live, a radio show that airs weeknights across the country. He wrote his latest book, with Pastor Tim Chalice, and it's called, and I'm holding it in my nicotine-stained fingers, The Perfect You, God's Invitation to Live from the Heart. And given that I'm holding it in my nicotine-stained fingers, and my wife and every Christian I know is praying for me to stop smoking, and it, I know, causes all kinds of health problems. Are you insane to say I'm perfect?
I'm going with God on this one, Steve.
Just don't tell
him. You know, this is really, you know, I always quote the scripture, the heart is deceitful and above all things.
Right.
And you say, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Well, yeah, it's been an interesting journey to really study this out, my friend. But the bottom line is, it's amazing how many of us say, hey, I'm born again. I'm born of God. I'm born of the Spirit. I'm a new creation. And then 20 minutes later, we say we've got a dirty, wicked heart. And then we say, but Jesus lives in my heart. And we see no contradiction there. We don't talk about it. It doesn't come up very often. Occasionally, we'll quote Ezekiel, you know, I'll give you a new heart, take out your heart of stone. But we haven't made sense of this as a church, I don't think. And so we wrote this book, The Perfect You, to share with believers that, you know, God really did do a heart surgery at salvation. He took out your old heart, gave you a new heart. Romans 6 says you have an obedient heart. So I don't know. What if this thing is real? I mean, what if the problem is all the thoughts that are floating through your head? What if the problem is not your heart? What if you're not supposed to beat your heart down and get rid of your evil heart, but instead you're supposed to live from the heart? I mean, it seems to me that that would change a lot of things for us.
Does that mean that the sin, I, you know, I'm an old guy and I really thought I'd be better by now. I mean, I've been doing this before you were born, Andrew.
Yeah.
And I really looked up to spiritual heroes and said, I'm going to be like that. I'm not yet, but I'm going to work at it. And I've worked at it really hard. And it was a massive, colossal failure. Can you make me feel better?
Yeah. You know, here's what I would say. Like when you get a new iPhone, you take it home from the store and it's new hardware. It's shiny. You get to pick the color. Everything's great. You're on it for 5 minutes and it says you need software updates. And you're like, what? I just bought this thing. What are you talking about? But that's the difference between hardware and software updates. And so I'm saying, in The Perfect You, that, hey, Steve, you've got the new spiritual hardware, but you're still experiencing software updates, the renewing of the mind, and those are not the same thing. And so we can account for all the thoughts you're getting. I'm getting them too. Everybody's getting them. That's the renewing of the mind that needs to take place. But I mean, the bottom line is you've got a go-to place. There's a place within you where Christ dwells. You've got to go to place. If you didn't, I mean, let's play out the other scenario. If you didn't, then God is saying you're wicked, but please live holy. You're sinful, but please live righteous. You're bad, but please live good. I mean, that's an invitation to fake it and to somehow get rid of yourself, stuff yourself down, not be you, try to be somebody you're not. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians think that that's what they're supposed to do, is be more like Jesus, but please don't be yourself. And in this book, we're saying you can be yourself and express Jesus at the same time.
This has the implications of the Reformation doctrine of imputation, the righteousness of Christ. Does that play in this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I would say that it's not just God looking at us as if we're new. A lot of people will take it that far. They'll say, now you need to see yourself the way God sees you. And so apparently God's pulling the wool over his own eyes. He's tricking himself, or maybe he's wearing Jesus glasses and pretending that you're different. But really what we see in the Bible, again, is you're born of God, you're born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave birth to you. Like, what does that say about you? If we were to cut you open on a spiritual operating table, are you no different than the guy next door? Is your next door neighbor and you, you're just the same? Or did God really transform who you are at the core of your being? So it's not just some ledger in heaven, some, you know, some clipboard where God says you're righteous. But, you know, Paul says if righteousness had been based on the law, then righteousness could impart, the law could impart life to you. Galatians says that, you know, if the law had been given and could impart life, then righteousness would have been based on the law. That tells me something. The righteousness I have is an imparted life righteousness. It's not a fake righteousness. It's not just a bookkeeping righteousness. It's real. It's now. And we gotta talk about it, Steve.
And we are. But first, we gotta hustle. Product, make a buck, pay for this. But that's not sinful. So don't get uptight about it. We're doing it from our perfection. Nevertheless, it's hard work, and we're going to have some cookies and milk and take a nap, and then we're going to come back and talk some more with Andrew Farley. The book is The Perfect You, God's Invitation to Live from the Heart. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have four mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These four mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
Hey, you're listening to Steve Brown, Etc., and we're talking to one of our favorite guests, best-selling author, radio host, and pastor, Andrew Farley. His latest book, and you got to get it because it's different. I've been reading it this morning, and I have always taught, if you are familiar with Key Life, you know this, the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. And I have lived in the fact that I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ and that I go before God perfect because of that. But I never thought that I literally am the righteousness of Christ in my heart. And this book will open up new ways of thinking about your Christian faith. And it, again, it's called The Perfect You, God's Invitation to Live from the Heart.
Andrew, we quote scripture a lot, and we talk about this idea that God's love is poured out into our hearts. What does that, what does that actually mean? And how does that, or should that change our view of our hearts?
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I mean, God doesn't live in dirty places. That's what we got to wrap our minds around. He cleaned house and then he moved in. So when Romans says that the love of God has been poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit, a Holy Spirit doesn't live in an unholy heart. And when we put two and two together here, we start realizing, wait a minute, he made me compatible. I mean, in the Old Testament, you had the Holy of Holies, and there was one guy who could go in there, but only after significant preparation. And if he messed up, well, he was perhaps a goner. So, I mean, the bottom line is we have a holy place within us, our spiritual hearts that God gave us. And, you know, he entered into our hearts. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. So what I'm trying to say, you know, what we're saying in this book is that in every moment when temptation hits, when life hits, when planet Earth comes at you, you don't have to be firing up long distance phone calls to heaven to try to get help. You've got a go-to place at the core of your being where Christ lives. And, you know, as far as love, I mean, what does that mean? Well, your new heart is loving. Your new heart is patient. Your new heart is kind. God's not asking you to be someone you're not. He's telling you you're a child of light, therefore walk as a child of light. So it almost becomes common sense that he had to change the root of your being for any transformation to really happen on the outside.
It's so good. We used to have a guy, church I served, who had been a really big pagan, and he became a Christian. And he went out and told everybody that he had invited Jesus into his body. And I kept saying, Sam, it's heart. Try to get that right. I wish I could find him. I would tell him some other things about the heart that I didn't know until I read your book.
Well, I do have to circle back on one thing, because you mentioned it in the previous segment, you know, the idea of the heart being wicked and the Bible speaking to that in Jeremiah 17:9,
yeah,
heart is deceitful above all things. Okay. So we have a new heart, right? What is that talking about then?
Yeah. Well, it's just like all those passages early on in Romans that say, you know, we have a hardened heart. God gave us over. I mean, that's talking about the human race. And what we have to do is factor in Jesus. And so here we are, we live on this side of the cross. We live on this side of the resurrection, and Pentecost was a really big deal. People were waiting on it for good reason. There's this born again experience that we have where God gives birth to us spiritually. Literally, we're children of God. I mean, that's what the Apostle John was freaking out about. We are actually children of the living God. So, you know, we can look out at the world and we can say, you know, deceitful and wicked and hardened hearts and in Adam and spiritually dead and needing salvation. But at the same time, we've got to turn to the church and say, born again, born of God, born from above, new heart, new spirit, God's spirit living in us. We can definitely label the world the way it needs to be labeled. But at the same time, we've got to be bragging on Jesus that he actually did something to us at the new birth.
Mm-hmm. So Andrew, for the person though, who just feels like their heart is constantly leading them in the wrong way, and this idea of them having a new heart, they want it to be true, but they don't trust it and they don't feel like their heart's new. How is this an encouraging message for the Christian who just can't seem to toe the line?
Yeah, Zach, I think you're describing a lot of people. And I have been one of them. I mean, I came to realize what I'm experiencing is in my head, not my heart. And I really think that's important. We're talking about making a 1 foot journey from head to heart and living from here. You know, in marriage, you try to navigate your marriage up in your head. You use gray matter. You try to use your most recent thinking. You try to win an argument. Everybody tries to win, and then the marriage loses because we're, you know, if it's marriage or friendship or in the workplace, we're prosecuting each other. We're accepting all kinds of negative thoughts. We're accepting lustful thoughts. We're accepting jealous thoughts. Accusatory thoughts. I mean, you name it. And that's what we're experiencing in the head. And I think we confuse that with the heart. And the enemy loves that. The enemy loves to say, look at all the thoughts you're getting. Therefore, you must be evil at the core. And Revelation says he accuses us day and night. And so in this book, The Perfect You, we're saying, hey, what if all of that experience is in the mind. And that's why God says, you know, Romans 12, 2, you need the renewing of the mind. There's no doubt you've got fleshly thinking, worldly thinking, old thoughts. No doubt that's under renovation in your mind. But can we talk about your heart? Can we talk about that beautiful place where Jesus lives? What if that's the solution? What if your heart could inform your head? And what if you could live from the heart in every moment and not be scared of it? We're saying you don't have to test your heart. You can trust your heart.
Man,
good stuff.
I tell you, we don't have time to get into it now because we're getting ready to land the plane on this segment. But this sounds almost too good to be true. And so when we come back, we're gonna ask Andrew, how do you get it from words to a reality in your life? For instance, if I have a Playboy magazine in my lap, flip it open, how is this going to help with that? And you're going to be surprised at the difference this kind of thing will make. And we'll also get him to answer the question about the passage in the Old Testament that says the heart is deceitful above all things. I've always used that as a measurement of me, and I think I'm going to have to stop it. But we'll see on the other side of the break. The name of the book is The Perfect You. The name of the author is Andrew Farley. Like Jesus, we're coming back. Don't go anyplace. Just stand there.
From Key Life comes two mini books. What Do You Do for a Living? And Life After Retirement. What Do You Do for a Living by Justin Holcomb addresses the problem of defining ourselves by what we do and how we perform in our work instead of by who we know. A gracious, loving God who defines who we are. Life After Retirement by Steve Brown examines how those transitioning from work to retirement often experience a loss of purpose in life, and how the quest for personal significance can best be answered by God's radical grace, love, and purpose for our lives sufficient to carry us through this transition. What Do You Do for a Living and Life After Retirement can help guide people struggling with either work or retirement. These two Key Life mini books are available through keylife.org for a donation of $6.
Glad you're a part of this. We're hanging out with best-selling author, one of our favorite people, radio host and pastor Andrew Farley. And by the way, you can find more from him at andrewfarley.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Dr. Andrew Farley. Andrew, before the break, I brought up Playboy and everybody winced, but you can substitute greed or murder or anger or whatever you want to if sex makes you uncomfortable, and it does most Christians. But let's say that somebody hears your teaching on the heart, and they're going to a pornographic site on the internet.
Yeah.
How is this heart thing going to help with that? And it is a significant problem with a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, we start to believe we're the sum total of what we do. And Satan's tactic is essentially, hey, you've already been to this site 50 times. Why not throw one more visit on the pile? You're already dirty. What could it hurt? You're already all washed up. God's already frustrated with you, ticked off at you. You know, this is the end for you anyway, so why not just give up? And I think a lot of men, a lot of people live in that mindset. And so I guess we're asking, you know, how's that working for you? I mean, you know, are you really finding fulfillment and peace and joy when you finish visiting a pornographic site or blowing up at somebody, you know, blowing up at your spouse or entertaining a jealous thought and acting it out? I mean, how's that working for you? Do you not agree that someplace within you completely is at odds with that? There's a conflict, there's a war of a certain kind. And what we're saying is, let's look at that war. What if you're on God's team? What if it's you and God on the same team against sin? And what if it's just that your brain, your mind, your computer is being deceived by the thoughts that you're getting? And you end up every single time saying, miserable man that I am, who will rescue me from this? And the answer is Jesus bearing witness with you that you don't really want to do this. And in the book, in The Perfect You, I really would challenge people to try out this sentence, I don't really want to sin. And that's really hard for people to say. I mean, it's almost like we think we're being humble by saying, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. But I wonder if people would try this on. I don't really want to sin. Yes, I get the thoughts. Yes, they're pervasive. But the Bible tells me where they come from. They come from a power called sin, and they come from unrenewed mindsets called the flesh. But they're not coming from my heart. They're not coming from my spirit. I'm not the source of them. They're fiery darts. Where do darts come from? They come from the outside at you, not from the inside out. So what if when the pornography site is an option, the blowing up reaction at your spouse is an option, the jealous thoughts, what if when those things are coming at you, what if you reinterpreted your thought life and said, you know what? I'm dead to those thoughts. I'm alive to God. I count myself dead to that thought. And I believe that I am connected, bonded with Jesus, that I'm compatible with him, and that I'm on God's team. You know, Steve, that makes a difference.
Mm. Matthew.
It seems like, you know, talking about from a practical point of view, that kind of shame cycle, that kind of feedback loop where I feel ashamed. So I go back to the thing because what do I have to lose at this point? And it just kind of just builds to a crescendo. It seems like what you're saying here really short circuits that whole shame cycle. Because if you're thinking I'm a wicked person, my heart is wicked, then naturally I would do these things because that's what a wicked heart does versus this is not me anymore. This is not my life anymore. The butterfly is not going to go crawl around on the leaf anymore. It's kind of a different approach to the whole thing.
Yes, you've got it. I mean, you can't consistently live against who you believe you are. So if you believe you're a dirty, rotten sinner, you're going to live like one. If you believe you're a holy, righteous saint with a new heart, you're going to live like one. There's a new trend. And when that new trend hits your thinking, it totally affects your actions. And, you know, we've got it backwards when we think we should Martin Luther ourselves to death, you know, laying out in the snow, beating ourselves over the back, punishing ourselves. Woe is me. The young monk Martin Luther did that, and it really didn't work for him. It doesn't work for us either. Instead of that approach, we need to be saying, wait a minute. No, I'm living in the present as a totally forgiven person. I'm living in the present with no condemnation for me. Every minute is a fresh start. And if we can see that I'm not the sum total of what I just did, and every minute is a fresh start, then that makes all the difference in our decision making.
That's awesome.
That's new for me, or at least to think about it. I mean, I get the scripture you give, and I get the direction you're going in, and I have a feeling inside that this is right. The name of the book, by the way, and you ought to get it, think about it, maybe make it a subject for a study of a small group in your church. It's called The Perfect You, God's Invitation to Live from the Heart. It erases the wormology that is so often extant among Christians and encouraged by preachers like me. I repent. You're going to love my sermons from this time out. You really are. And I expect a generous gift from you. He was irritated when the electricity went out. No television, no music, no Netflix. Then he discovered that the battery on his smartphone was dead. He decided to make some coffee, but when he went to the kitchen, he realized that without electricity, he couldn't even do that. Then he noticed his wife in the kitchen, and he sat down and talked to her. He said later, "You know, she seemed like a very nice lady." I know, technology's good, but sometimes go talk to somebody face to face. You might be surprised how nice and real they are. It's messy sometimes, but Jesus would like it. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com. Hey, we're so glad that you're a part of this. As I say, you always have a seat at our table. By the way, we now have a free, so you can't complain about it. It's free app, and it's available both iPhone and Android. And I downloaded it. And I listen, you guys don't think that's a big deal, but it really is. I mean, the fact that I'm even have a phone.
How many years did it take?
Is a miracle of sorts.
Now, have you used the app, Steve, or just?
No, I did.
Oh, you used it.
John Myers, who refuses to come on camera or even on mic, is our wizard of all things IT and technological at Key Life. And he has spent months working on this. And you'll be blown away with it. Really, go and check it out at the iPhone or the Android store, and you'll rise up and call me blessed for having said that to you. Matthew?
Andrew, before the break, we were talking about how this idea of how we see our hearts as being good and clean now where God lives because of Christ's work. It's a transformative idea when we can kind of wrap our brains around that and live that out. Yeah. So the next extension beyond that would be, it would also kind of transform how we interact and see others, whether it's friends or family or people who maybe even have like a different idea than us, or they're just completely wrong or whatever. Talk to us about how that fleshes out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously you talk about politics at the Thanksgiving table or Christmas dinner or whatever, and you're going to have disagreements, and a lot of disagreements are just human opinion. But I do think that this intersects with conflict, conflict in marriage, conflict in friendships, conflict in churches where there's division and factions and blowups, and you know, you start to not just see that you have a new heart, but you recognize the new heart in the other person. And when you do, it changes the way that you interact because you start to build more trust. You can say, look, even when they said this or did this to me, I've got a forgiving heart. I can forgive them. But secondly, I can see their heart as being new. And I know that we share a common enemy. Get this. I mean, we share a common enemy together, a common enemy called sin. So my wife is not my enemy. My spouse is not my enemy. My fellow Christian at church is not my enemy. We share a common enemy who accuses us and tempts us and attacks us. And when I can see my heart and their new heart as well, man, it really does start to enable us to build trust in a whole new way.
I could see Andrew, how this would really change in marriage. You know, if you see your spouse primarily as having a new heart and not, you know, the thing they did that hurt you, that would be a game changer, it seems. But what do you say to the person who says, well, that sounds a little bit like, you know, like like a Disney-fied version of life. Like, you know, just follow your heart. You can trust your heart. Your heart is good. Like, how is this different than that kind of fanciful belief?
Right. And it's interesting, you know, that the world is saying this. I mean, the world has a version of this, and it does sound a bit Disney. It says, you know, you need to follow your heart and trust your heart. You watch romantic movies, and even if it involves an affair or something sinful, just go with it. Go with your gut. Be true to yourself. Follow your heart. It's interesting that the world has imitated this because really this can only happen in Christ for it to be healthy. This can only happen in Jesus for a new creation, for this to make any sense. Otherwise, you don't know what you're following. But ultimately, what we're saying is, Jesus invited us to something that he claimed at the very outset. He claimed, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you're going to find rest for your soul. He even said, my commands are not burdensome. So how would that work? I mean, if you're dirty, but there's all these new ways to live, if you're rotten, but you're supposed to live holy, man, that would not be easy and light. That would be drudgery. That would be awful. And so, you know, this isn't fantasy. It really is deciding that the gospel is as good as we said it was. I mean, we're sitting on a park bench sharing with an unbeliever, and we say, hey, it's not about what you do. It's about what Jesus did for you. Hey, you know, he's going to make you into a new creation. Don't you worry about those old habits. He'll take care of this from the inside out. We say all that stuff. Then they get saved, and then we pile on the rules. Make sure you're not doing this. Make sure you're not doing that. What if from the outset we were teaching believers everywhere about the new heart and that it's not fantasy, it's God's reality for us, that we really can live from the core and that, you know, we're a perfect fit with a perfect God. He didn't make us incompatible. He made us compatible. So we Christians are the only ones who can be ourselves and express Jesus at the same time with no conflict. And I find that, quite frankly, I find that incredible.
Yeah.
This is not this is a process, isn't it? I mean, I loved what you said on this program, but I am not, as soon as we turn off the mics and the cameras,
right,
I am not going to be thereafter a totally sanctified Christian who always acts from his heart or from the center that you've described. So it's a process, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely a process, but the center is there. The heart is there. The root is there. The core is there. We want to just recognize that part. And then, yes, we embrace the process. We say, you know, Lord, I have 10,000 thoughts that need renewing. I have old perspectives, old habits, old reactions, and they're up here in my mind. And so I'm asking you to renew my mind. And you know what, Father, I welcome that process because the whole time I'm righteous, the whole time I'm forgiven, the whole time I'm set apart for you. I am a set apart person, even though all my thinking is not yet set apart. So Steve, for me, you know, it makes the process of growth. It can be enjoyable. It can be fun. The pressure's off. If you're accepted and loved and a new creation the whole time anyway, what's to worry about? We can fix our eyes on Jesus and enjoy it.
Mm. Oh, man. Andrew, you did a good thing by writing this book. And we love having you on. I hope you'll keep writing books, and I hope you'll keep visiting us and allowing us to ask you questions about your books.
Hey, my pleasure.
A good man, Charlie Brown. Thank you, and I know how busy you are, so thanks for taking the time to spend this hour with us.
Thanks, Andrew.
Guys, don't forget the name of the book or the one who wrote it, Andrew Farley, The Perfect You, God's Invitation to Live from the Heart. Now, there is one more segment. It is a relatively short segment, but we are coming back, and we'll tell you who we're going to do it unto next week.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have four mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These four mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
Well, that hour went by very quickly. We really do like Andrew. He's the real deal. And that's a new way to think about the Christian faith, but you have to be careful. You always have to be careful because God knows that if he gives us an inch, we'll take a mile. And there are people in the church that will run with this wonderful and life-changing teaching and use it as a bludgeon to beat you over the head. You're not living from your center. And if you love Jesus, you would. Your heart is a place of purity, but you never go there. You are a sinner. I'm not even sure you're saved kind of stuff. Don't go there. That's not what Andrew's been talking about. He's been talking about a reality that's based on another reality. No matter where you go, no matter what you've done or what you've been drinking or who you're sleeping with or who you hurt, you're loved. You're acceptable. You're righteous as you stand before the throne of God. And as long as you get that, this teaching can be really life-changing, and I expect it's going to become a part of some of the things that I teach in the future. Kathy, who's going to be on next week?
Well, we just have so many people clamoring to be a part of the program that I've got several fishing lines out there and people on the end, and I have to figure out who I'm going to put on next week. I just don't know. I'll just have to see how the spirit moves me to decide who we're going to look at. Matthew.
Where's your heart, Kathy? Where's your heart?
That's right. To decide where my heart takes me for next week. No, don't use my mind. Well, that's not a problem. I don't usually.
For next week, but it's because they hustle. And
we do have guests. We could have multiple guests next week. I just have to figure out which one.
They're standing in line to get on this.
They are. They are.
It's because they got our new app. They saw the new app.
That's it.
I got to get on this.
And they have used the app, unlike some of us.
That's right.
I have used it.
With your thumbs.
Hey, can they go on the app and do the video of this program?
Yeah.
I don't know. One way to find out.
Yeah.
KeyLife.org/app.
That's right. Go for it.
I've watched Zach on the app.
Oh.
Hey, John, you're even better than I thought you were.
Good
for you.
He's a little smaller on the app on the phone. He's about that big.
Yeah, well, I can get a, you know, at my age, I can get a magnifying glass or something. Guys, we're gone.
Yes.
But we're going to come back next week, same time, same place, and it's our fond hope that you'll join us. Between now and then, don't do anything we wouldn't. That gives you a wide, wide berth.